Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
The potter is all powerful. The clay, well, is just clay. The clay is under the loving care of our Heavenly Father. So first, the clay can't turn itself into a vessel. Secondly, the clay is under the control of the potter. Third, the clay serves the good purposes of the potter.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. When it comes to making decisions or solving problems, do you trust God or do you try to handle things all on your own? Today on The Verdict, we're continuing in the book of Jeremiah and going to the potter's house as we explore this wonderful imagery of being clay in the potter's hands. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe to introduce today's message.
Today is an intriguing lesson from Jeremiah, in the potter's hand. You may have heard the old song, "Thou art the potter, I am the clay." I don't know how that appeals to you, to be described as clay, but remember that the Lord God formed Adam of the dust from the ground. But this picture is a beautiful one, one which I love. God as the potter is sovereign, loving, and all-powerful. Today we're going to go into the potter's house. First, we're going to look at the spiritual condition of Israel and then learn about the clay. Undoubtedly through life, the Lord is shaping us and forming us as He sees fit. Let's not resist the potter. Well, our subject today is about pottery. Not that I claim to be an expert potter, but I've called this message "In the Potter's Hand." And Jeremiah, in this wonderful book, a rather strange book, a difficult book in some respects, but we've learned that Jeremiah, the prophet, communicating God's word, uses a lot of imagery. And here, if you turn in your Bible with me to Jeremiah chapter 18, we're going to read about a potter. That Jeremiah is told by the Lord to go to the potter's house, and there God is going to speak to him. Let me read, first of all, the first 11 verses of Jeremiah chapter 18. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord: "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. We notice that. As it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done? Declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it. And if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I had intended to do to it. Now therefore, say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Return every one from his evil way and amend your ways and your deeds." Jeremiah going to the potter's house. I want us to learn three things about the clay. First of all, to say the obvious, and all of these things are obvious, the clay cannot turn itself into a vessel. The clay cannot turn itself into a vessel. By itself, the clay is powerless to do anything for itself. Why is that? It's clay. What are we as human beings? We are clay. Genesis 2, we come from dust. God made us from dust, and we return to dust. In a sense, nothing special about this, just coming from clay. It's true, we're made in the image of God, but we're made of clay. And you notice verse 4, the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. That word for spoil, Jeremiah uses it in chapter 13, verse 7, when he puts on that loincloth, if you know the book of Jeremiah, and it says there it was spoiled, it was good for nothing. That is, by ourselves, we cannot be the people we would like to be. We are powerless to get right with God by ourselves. We are powerless to achieve our own salvation. You say, well, why is that? God made us. God is the one who chose to make us from clay, as it were. But think of the problem. Jeremiah tells us in chapter 17. Look there if you have your Bible. Jeremiah 17, verse 1. The sin, oh, there it is. Sin. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, with a point of diamond. It is engraved on the tablet on their heart and on the horns of their altars. Judah's sin is indelibly written with a pen of iron, with a point of a diamond. How graphic. It's engraved on their very hearts. It's engraved on the horns of their altar. Their altars had these horns on the four corners. The sin, Jeremiah is saying, your sin goes very, very deep. It impacts your heart. It impacts your religious observances. And by yourself, you cannot erase it. Do you understand that? By yourself, you can't get rid of your sin. A basic problem, and we have a lot of them, is not primarily one of our environment. It's not of the family you were born into. It's not a matter of your intelligence or your education or your social status or your economic situation. The basic problem is our heart. Chapter 17, verse 8, very famous verse. Here's a description of your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things. No, the basic problem is not our economic situation or our political situation, although there are huge problems there. No, the basic problem, the fundamental problem, is the human heart. It's deceitful and desperately sick. Old King James says desperately wicked. I think the NIV probably gives a better translation. It says it is beyond cure. That's the point. Your heart is deceitful, and the problem is so deep that it is incurable. You go to the physician, and the physician says, I'm very sorry, madam, your situation is incurable. It's beyond cure. That's the point. We have a spiritual sickness, not so much out there, although it impacts out there, but it begins not out there. Remember, Jesus said the basic problem is with your heart inside. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, it was a great fall. It's like Humpty Dumpty, wasn't it? Remember the children's poem, Humpty Dumpty? Sat on a wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. And we've had a massive fall. And all of the king's horses and all of the king's men and all of our intelligence, all of our strategy, all of our education, all of our ingenuity, all of our creativity cannot put us together again. We are clay, totally unable by ourselves to get rid of our failures and sins. I wish we understood that. Do you understand that? You say, well, I'm not that bad. Yes, you are. Oh, we can cover it up with our sophistication, with our modern way of life. But the scripture says here, who can understand it? Jeremiah 17, verse 9, you see, our heart is so deceitful, sometimes we have difficulty admitting the extent of our own deceit. We have such a cover-up. We can see it in other people, but we have such defense mechanisms that we don't see it ourselves. What do? We trust in ourselves. We plan our lives without God. And what does that do? Look at chapter 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is a man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. That's it, isn't it? You're trusting in yourself. He's like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. You trust in yourself, what happens to you? You end up parched, lonely, disillusioned, like a shrub in a place of salt, in a place of desolation, and their hearts away from God. You say, well, I think we can help one another. Well, counseling and therapy and education and politics and all of that cannot cure you. At the very best, they may be able to discern some of your problems, but they can never give you the cure. The verdict of the Bible, the verdict of human history, surely the verdict of your own experience is that for every single one of us, our heart is deceitful. And because of that, we turn away from God. We don't seek God. Such is our arrogance, such is the extent of our fall, the extent of our deceit. Instead of acknowledging that we are mere clay, no, we think we can make something of ourselves, and we turn away from God. You know what happens when clay is left alone? You know, it becomes harder and harder. You leave it alone, it becomes hard and harder and harder. And the clay by itself will never turn itself into a vessel. So the Bible is very, very clear that our salvation is not based on what we do. As far as God's concerned, there's nothing we can do to effect our salvation rather than acknowledging we need salvation. And that salvation comes not from ourselves, not from other people, but from God, who in his grace sends his Son, who comes from outside of ourselves. So Martin Luther was very right when he said that our salvation is outside of ourselves. That's it. In Christ, in God's grace. So Paul says, no, your salvation is not of your own doing, lest anyone should boast. It's entirely by grace alone, the grace of God, which is received through faith alone in Christ alone. You'll never, ever achieve your salvation. You try to live your life without God, and your heart will become harder and harder and harder. So first, the clay can't turn itself into a vessel. Secondly, the clay is under the control of the potter. When the potter sees some problem in the clay, again, verse 4, he reworks it into another vessel as seems good to the potter to do. The potter is all powerful. The clay, well, it's just clay. The clay has no authority, no voice, as it were, over the potter. The Lord, the potter, has the skill, the power, the sovereign right to make the clay any way he wants. The end of verse 4, very, very key. As it seemed good to the potter to do, not as seemed good to the clay, but as seemed good to the potter. That is, the potter is sovereign over the clay. Now, when we speak of God's sovereignty, we mean that God is the absolute ruler of everything. God is the supreme power over the whole universe. He's always in control. Nothing or no one can thwart the purposes of God. Psalm 115 says that God does whatever he pleases. Paul says he works all things after the counsel of his will in Ephesians 1. That is, the Lord rules. The Lord's in control. He rules over the nations. He rules over the weather. He rules over the rise and fall of the birds and the animals. His authority is unlimited and unrestrained by anything outside of himself. He's God. He's sovereign. He's the potter. He's the supreme king over all of human history. Yes, he's supreme over human government. That's why, incidentally, don't panic because of some political or international crisis. God is in control. Proverbs 21 verse 1, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it whatever he wishes, whatever he chooses. Human government is under the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign over the forces of nature. Our Lord demonstrated that on a wonderful occasion on the Sea of Galilee in the middle of the storms when the disciples were so afraid. He, the sovereign Christ, stood and did what only God can do. He spoke to the wind and the sea and said, "Be still." And there's a great calm. Sovereign over the government, sovereign over the universe, sovereign over the elements of nature, and certainly sovereign over you and me. Do you understand? You're clay. He is the sovereign. This is why, although we do it constantly, it is so foolish to resist God. Have you ever resisted God? You ever refused to listen to God over and over and over again? In Jeremiah, we read, "But you did not listen." It's like a father speaking to his son and saying, "You don't listen. When are you going to listen to me? When are you going to do what I say?" And the child continues to go his own way. God is speaking. He's sovereign. We're the clay. And we disobey God. When I was in that pottery class these many years ago, I quickly learned that the clay on the wheel was very pliable, very easy to be manipulated, molded, as it were, as long as it was wet. And with just a very little pressure, you know, if you've ever done this, with a very little pressure to the clay, you can mold it any way you want. But the harder the clay, when that clay gets a little bit hard, we need to put more pressure on it, don't you? And that's why the more you resist God. Why would you do that? The more you disobey God, you know what it does to you? Your heart becomes harder and harder and harder. And if we're a child of God, what does our Heavenly Father do? He disciplines us, his children. And that pressure, when we're on the potter's wheel and our Heavenly Father is molding us and we're resistant and our hearts have become kind of hard and we've turned our back on God, that can be very, very painful, can't it? Hebrews 12, verse 11. All discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Yes, being on the potter's wheel under our Heavenly Father's hands can be a very painful place to be. Very difficult place to be, isn't it? Very embarrassing, very difficult for us. But think of it this way. When you think that God is sovereign, he made us, he's our creator. For those of us who are his children through faith in Jesus Christ, he's our Heavenly Father. He's not only our creator, he's our redeemer. And so recognizing that God is sovereign and that God is in control of our life, doesn't that give you great comfort in the changing circumstances of life? Isaiah 64, verse 8, "Now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand." Father, you are the potter. I'm the clay. That gives me comfort, isn't it? It gives you a sense of security that the clay is under the control, can we say, under the loving care of our Heavenly Father. So first, the clay can't turn itself into a vessel. Secondly, the clay is under the control of the potter. Third, The clay serves the good purposes of the potter. That's obvious, isn't it? There's the clay. It's put on the wheel, the potter comes. And the clay has no idea what the potter has in mind when he begins to spin the wheel. You know, being on the potter's wheel, have you found it can be rather monotonous? You ever get a bit impatient with God, with God's timing? We're going round and round in circles, as it were, on the potter's wheel, to use the imagery. It can be a little boring. Sometimes life can be rather monotonous, can't it? Perhaps for some of you, it's in the routine, and you want God to act. You want God to bless your ministry in some way. You want God to bring a husband or wife into your life. You want a different opportunity in life, and it seems that your life is a bit on hold, and you're just kind of spinning your wheels, as it were. Remember this, that the clay serves the good purposes of the potter. And never forget that this potter is a good potter. He's sovereign, that's true. He's almighty, but he's also all loving. And my heavenly Father, my potter as it were, his purposes and designs for me and for you are always for good. That's not true of the advice we can get from other people. Sometimes we wonder, even with the best of intentions, we can get bad advice from people. You can go to your father, your mother, your teacher, your pastor, your best friend, your counselor, and they might give you advice regarding your future, but that is not inspired advice. And sometimes you wonder, is there advice in their interests or in mine? But God's purposes and God's designs for you are always good. I love that. I love to think of that. It's true, his designs, his purposes for our life are often very different from our ideas. Have you found that? You look back over your life and you think, I had no idea I'd be in this position today. I certainly can say that.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, In the Potter's Hands. John will be back in just a moment. But right now, we'd like to offer you a free copy of the brand new booklet John has written to go along with our current series. It's titled, When a Nation Forgets God. It's a thought-provoking biblical guide on the key themes and lessons we find in Jeremiah. As a prophet, Jeremiah was called to deliver a difficult message of repentance and judgment to the nation of Israel. And there are many striking parallels to our modern society. So take advantage of this insightful and relevant new resource by requesting your free copy of John's booklet titled, When a Nation Forgets God, by mail or download when you visit us online at theverdict.org. Here at The Verdict, we're committed to sharing the truth and life-changing power of Scripture every day, not just in your local community, but with listeners all across the globe. So we invite you to help us continue sharing biblical truth with listeners near and far, by supporting our ministry with a generous gift of any amount. You can give your gift today by clicking the Donate tab on our homepage or by giving us a call at 833-551-2231. That's 833-551-2231. You can even send a check in the mail by writing to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe with closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Have you ever worked with clay? As the wheel turns, it's very easy to change the shape of the clay. Have you realized that God is sovereign and also righteous? We need to acknowledge that we are fallen creatures, spoiled and broken vessels. But God is in the business of restoration, of healing the brokenhearted, of restoring the backslider. So wherever you are in your spiritual condition, cry out to the Master Potter. Don't resist him. Next time, we'll continue in the Potter's house and learn more about clay.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.